This evening's reading is taken from Psalm 119, verses 9-16, and can be found on page 434 in the Black Church Bible. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praised be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes, and one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Great. It's great to be in church. It's horrible outside, isn't it? So it's fantastic to be inside. And hopefully you feel the same way as I do about being in church this evening. Now, I don't know what you thought of that video. It seems to have split the staff down the middle. Now, I love it. I think it's great. But on the other hand, some of the staff thought it was a little bit cheesy. But whatever sort of camp you fit yourself into, it was just great. I liked it because it describes the importance of the Bible. And so with that in mind, why don't you grab your Bible and turn to Psalm 119 with me, please. You can find that on page 434 of the Church Bibles as we look together at this passage. Now, we learnt from Ted, helpfully, last week, that Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and therefore the longest psalm, with sort of 22 different stanzas reflecting the 22 different letters of the Hebrew alphabet. So when I first learnt that I was going to be speaking on Psalm 119, my heart sank because I thought I was going to speak on the whole thing. But thankfully, tonight, I've just got 8 lovely verses to look at. Unlike poor Ted, who had 52 verses to cover. But I thought he'd done a fantastic job of presenting that psalm to us. So I've cheekily borrowed some of his presenting ideas. So wherever you are, Ted, thank you very much. I hope you don't mind. But let's have a look, a quick look through this passage. Let's see if we can see a flavour or an idea of what it's all about. And one of the ways that we can do that is just to see if there's any repeated words or repeated phrases as we go along. So let's see. Go to the next slide. Brilliant. Okay. So what you'll find is that the scriptures are mentioned in every single verse. Although it's sort of different words describing them, they are all about the written word of God. You can see it there. Commands, words, decrees, laws, statutes, precepts. And also, if we look at the first and the last verse within this stanza, we'll see that we've got a repeated phrase, your word. And so just by doing a simple exercise like this, we can see that the main emphasis of this passage is on the importance of the written word of God or the Bible to us. Now, some of you more astute may find that actually there's other repeated words, and you'll find that that is I, me, or my. And so from that, we can understand that actually this is a personal prayer to God. But what we'll find if we dig a little bit deeper is that this is motivated out of a heart for sort of forgiveness for past sins or failures like other psalms. The motivation behind this is that the psalmist is longing to avoid sin and shame in his life. So this psalm is about the importance of the written word of God and the real problem of sin in our lives. As we look around in the culture and society today, we see the temptations and distractions all around us. And it sadly appears to me that those temptations around us start to become cultural norms and become more acceptable to our society, which is really quite dangerous, not just for our youth, but for us as well. So in a world, in a culture that can be sometimes seem to embrace and encourage temptations and impurities, the topic of tonight, the path to purity, seems quite counter-cultural, doesn't it? So what do we mean by purity? Well, purity can be defined as a freedom from sin, freedom from shame, a freedom from guilt. And that's where we're going to focus our attention on tonight, on our path to purity. So how does the psalmist kick it all off? He kicks it off with a great big question. If you can have a look in verse 9, you can see it's the very first line there. Big question. How can those who are young keep their way pure? How can those who are young keep their way pure? Sinless, blameless, guiltless. Now, I don't know if you are like me, but when someone comes and asks me a big question or a tough question, I know exactly what to say to them 2 hours later. It is so frustrating. I'm sure some of you must be like me. But sometimes, on a few occasions, when I let that person speak, which isn't often, and I should learn to do this a bit more, I find that they come up with the answer themselves, which is hugely helpful for them, but also sometimes hugely relieving for me. And so if we look at verse 9, the psalmist has a big question, but in the very next line, we see that he answers his own question with a satisfactory answer, which is really helpful for us, but again, hugely relieving for me this evening. So how can we keep our way pure, sinless, blameless, guiltless? By living according to your word, by living according to God's word. This helps us to understand why the psalmist is so passionate about the word of God and why he places the importance of it. So, the psalmist has given us a big question, given us a satisfactory answer. What he does in the rest of the stanza is give us some practical advice. And so I've just broken them down into 3 areas, which will hopefully be helpful to you this evening. That's fill the mind, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Or fill the mind then. So the psalmist is aware of the culture around him, and he knows that to stay on the path to purity, he must fill his mind with the word of God. So how does he plan to do that? Well, we get the indication in verse 15. It tells us that he meditates on the word of God. He meditates, which means he deeply reflects on the word of God. This means much more than the average 5-minute John Reeves quiet time in the morning before I go to work. Are you like me? That's the first thing which gets squeezed out of my morning routine. I mean, I'd never think about leaving the house without cleaning my teeth. That would be disgusting. But, well, to leave not reading a Bible, well, I can pull that off to another day. I can do that tomorrow. I'm not condoning my actions here. I'm just being real with you. We all struggle with it. But the psalmist here says, if we're serious about it, if we truly want to avoid sin in our lives and honour God, then reading and reflecting on God's word is essential for each day. Now, I don't know if you knew this, but I'm a wealthy man. You could probably tell by my accent and some of my clothes that I wear. Well, that's just a complete lie. I'm not at all wealthy. My shirt I've got on this evening is actually my brother's. He couldn't fit in it, so I've got it. Happy days. Brilliant. So every time we go now to see him, I try and encourage Joss to bake a cake in the hope that I get more shirts. What I did before the service, and Joss doesn't know this, is that I went to our bank account and I drew out all the money that we had in that bank account. And I have it in my back pocket here. So I've got in my hands £1,440. Now, who in a congregation wants this money? There's a few hands up. Good, good. Okay, so what if I went a step further and I went, I'll give you £1,440 every day. Every day, sir, I'm going to give you £1,440 every day on one provision, that you give me £20 back.
I give you 1,440. You give me £20 back. Now, is that outrageous for me to ask that? I think that's quite a good deal. You know, you may want to buy me a new shirt with that 20 quid a day, and so I don't have to fatten up my brother to get shirts. But what we find is that there are 1,440 minutes in each day. And each minute is a gift from God. So is it totally outrageous to give him 20 minutes back? You see, the crazy thing is that the God of this universe wants to know John Reeves, an average man from a small valley town in Wales. The God of the universe wants to know me. The other crazy thing is that when I do spend more time with him, he blesses me and reveals himself more to me. And so time with him is never wasted. It becomes a positive spiral of learning more, knowing more, loving more, and desiring more. Verse 12. The psalmist already knows scripture, but he desires and longs to know more. This is a great example for us, especially when we think that all he had was the Old Testament. He didn't have the amazing accounts of Jesus Christ. He didn't have the amazing, encouraging intellectual letters, instructive letters from Paul in the New Testament. And so we have all these things in front of us. We have a more written word. What a privilege for us that we have. So how much more should we desire this written word of God? In verse 13, the psalmist provides us with another practical tip. Can you see it? It's recount your word. Memorizing scripture is a great way to fill your mind with the word of God, because it helps us escape sin and respond in a way that honors God. Jesus memorized verses. When he was tempted in the desert by the devil, three times he responded with memorized verse. Do you remember what Ted talked about last week about the word of God being a sword? He defeated the devil with the word of God. And so surely if it's good enough for Jesus, then hey, it's got to be good enough for us. Right, a moment of honesty. A few months ago, I lost my cool with someone in work, a colleague, a peer. And as soon as I'd done that, a verse came to mind. And it was Philippians 4, verse 5. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Oh, smashed. Fair play, it would have been better if that had come to mind before I lost my cool. But it was good that it did come to mind. And it was really sort of helpful because it enabled me to apologize straight away and seek reconciliation with them. When we find ourselves facing temptation or weakness, scripture can come to mind and help us not to turn away from God, but to run towards him. The more the Bible, guys, the more the Bible is in your mind, the harder it is to sin comfortably. So the psalmist here is saying, I want my mind to be filled with God's word so I don't sin against him and remain on the path to purity. So, rule the heart. With our minds filled and transformed by the word, it can help but go from our heads into our hearts. And verse 11 is such a key verse here. Have a look with me, please. I have hidden, or I have stored, or I have treasured your word in my heart. Why? So I don't sin anymore. This is such a key verse in the whole passage, because when we treasure something in our hearts, we can't help to be affected by it. Now, this is a little bit soppy, but I remember when I was first going out with Joyce, my wife, I'd had a nightmare day on the Friday. And people were shouting at me down the phone. Everything in the office was going crazy. And those guys, if you are office workers, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But it didn't affect me. Why? Because I was on my way to see my girl that evening. So you see, when we have something treasured in our hearts, come on, we can't help but rejoice and delight in it. In verse 14 and 16, verse 14, he talks about rejoicing in the scriptures like rejoicing in great riches. How does he feel that way? I don't feel that way. Well, we can get encouragement from the first stanza, from verses 5 and 6. He says this, "Oh, that my ways were steadfast, then I would not be put to shame." What helps him rejoice is not that he doesn't sin, but that God is praiseworthy and doesn't abandon him. If we have a right view of God and ourselves before him, then we couldn't fail to rejoice in him and his word. So with both our hearts and our minds working together, we will experience and see a change in our will that will guide our heart, our feet, sorry, guide the feet. Verse 10, have a look with me, please. It says this, that he seeks God with all his heart, meaning that he deliberately seeks, deliberately wills, a direction towards God. Whenever we're serious about something, I mean really serious, we put all our heart into it, don't we? If we don't, we can be described as being half-hearted, or my heart's not really into it. Recently we had the Olympics, and I just thought they were absolutely brilliant. These athletes put their whole minds and hearts into wanting to be Olympic champions. So much so that their feet guided them to training each day, even when it was raining. They would never have become Olympic champions if their minds, their hearts, and their body were not all in it, working together. By knowing God, loving God, you can't help but be affected to live for God. So there you have it. You have three practical ways in which we as believers can keep to the path to purity. I don't know about you, but this process seems a little bit like an intellectual exercise. A sort of a determined-led exercise. But you see, what I've done is I've left the best thing till last. Because although these practical ways are brilliant, they keep us to the path to purity, but they don't get us on the path to purity. You see, like any other path, it leads somewhere. And so the path to purity has a destination, and that destination is heaven. A place where there's purity, where there's no shame, no guilt, no sin. I mean, guilt is a real thing, isn't it? And you just can't get there by trying harder or being better. It's only by God's grace shown to us through the death and resurrection of Jesus that we are placed on the path and have our destination as heaven. Now tonight we've looked at and focused on the written word of God, the importance that it has in our lives. But in one of the accounts of Jesus, in a book called John, he describes Jesus as the Word. Well, now what does John mean by this? Why is he describing Jesus in that way? Well, words are used to communicate between two parties. And so this is why the Bible is called the written Word of God, because it's his communication to us through written word. But Jesus comes to communicate God to us in the flesh. He makes God known to us, and more importantly, God's rescue plan for us. So, Jesus suffered and died, bearing our shame, our guilt, our sin, so that if we believe that he has done this for us, then we are totally forgiven, made pure, blameless, guiltless, and sinless forever. This is amazing news. Because actually it's nothing to do with my performance. but all about Jesus' performance and God's grace. This should be our motivation to rejoice like the psalmist and live according to the word of God, out of a thankful heart for a free gift of salvation that is greater reward than receiving this money from me. If you're a Christian here tonight, then be motivated by your destiny, the Word, the Spirit of God, whilst walking on the path to purity. If you're not a Christian here tonight, then, hey, thank you so much for coming tonight. Let me encourage you to keep looking into this Jesus guy, because you never know, he might be relevant to you and your destiny. I believe so. So, with the word of God, let us pray it in, read it through, live it out, and pass it on. Amen. Cool, okay? We're going to sing our final song this evening. And it's Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. So if you are a believer here tonight, then sing it with all your heart. Put all your heart into it, because it is amazing grace that we are destined for heaven. We are blameless, sinless, and pure. Amen.